Thank you, Grace, and thank you for the worship team. Thank you very much for bringing us to the presence of God. Just looking at the topic that I'm going to preach next week, I guess some of you are actually more interested in next week's topic than this week, yeah? So, fantastic. Yeah, thank you, Alan. All good. Now, so today I want to talk to you about Proverbs. Everyone say Proverbs. Undoubtedly, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is actually one of my favorite, all-time favorite. I remember when I was young, a pastor, and I was talking and he was speaking to my life. He said, Kenny, if you were to read one chapter a day of Proverbs, you would do well in life. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. So at a very young age, I started to read the book of Proverbs, just one day a chapter. For those of you that are familiar with the book of Proverbs, how many chapters are there in the book of Proverbs? Very good. I can always... Joe is like the A-plus student. You always have an answer. I love you, Joe. We can have this because we have a good relationship. So there are 31 chapters, and the pastor was saying, if you read one chapter a day, Kenny, you will do well in life. So ever since then, as best as I could, I read one chapter a day ever since I'm in my 20s. Ever since then, I read one chapter a day. Whether I was in business, when I was in ministry, whether I'm getting married, having children, I read one chapter a day. And I can tell you, it has changed my life tremendously. So my encouragement to you is to read one chapter a day. It will do you good, and it's really fast. If you are not a reader, nowadays there is you put on the Bible app, you can even play with your phone while you're driving. Yeah. So I did a bit of test. So from my house, I drive all the way here, around 20, 25 minutes. So I play Proverbs here. So before I start driving, very important, yeah? Don't choose while you're driving. So before you drive, you press play, Proverbs in the Bible app. So around 20 minutes, 11 chapters. Wow, just 20 minutes and just listening to God's word. Now, the reason why I put up this, I choose this picture, Living Wisely, Introduction to the Book of Proverbs, you can see a bunch of toolkits there. Now, the Book of Proverbs, really, Proverbs is it means short, clever sayings. It's jam-packed with wisdom in there. And the Book of Proverbs, the big aim is to empower you and to give you certain toolkits in your life so you can navigate through this life with wisdom. I was actually, when I was thinking about today's sermon, I had another topic in my mind. I was thinking, maybe I should talk about the skill in the art of a good life. Because really, if you look into the book of Proverbs, it's telling you that there is this wisdom. Now, what is this wisdom? What is wisdom? Wisdom is like this mysterious force, if you like. It's this current in the ocean, whereby if you jump on the current, it will pull you into this direction. And when God fashioned the universe and when He established the foundation of the world, somehow God put in place the wisdom of God and how the universe is functioning. And if you were to jump into this current, which is the wisdom of God in your life, so to speak, figuratively speaking, you would somehow enjoy the good life that God has intended it to be. We believe that as Christians, that God has created this good world. Amen? And this good world that God has created, that it is a moral universe. And that when we tap into this current and when we flow with the wisdom of God and living right before God, somehow, your life will be blessed. Can I get an amen for that? And for the next 2 months or so, I want to unpack to you so many godly wisdom that is in the book of Proverbs. So the question then is, why study Proverbs? Why study Proverbs? There are a couple of reasons. First thing first is to gain wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is so important. Straight out in the first chapter, first verse, the book of Proverbs, let us read together at a count of three. One, two, three. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. Straight off, the Bible says the reason why you want to learn from the book of Proverbs is to know wisdom. It's to know wisdom. We all need wisdom. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old, you need wisdom. You need wisdom when you're in school. You need wisdom when you're at work. You need wisdom when it comes to relational matters. I need a lot of wisdom when it comes to relational matters. Amen. Very often I say, it's a lot of us, those of us who are working, it's not the work itself that troubles us, it's the people that we work with. If you are being honest, but I have no trouble working with Pastor Randall here. But we need wisdom when it comes to relational matters. And somehow, this is the beautiful thing. When we tap into the wisdom of God, into this current, this ocean current of the wisdom of God, your life will be blessed. Because this is how the Lord structured and fashioned the world to be. To gain wisdom. Secondly, is to make better decisions. How many of you love to play chess here? All the nerds are like, you know. I'll be the first. I love to play chess. How many of you love to play chess? Come, be proud. There you go. It's true. All the nerds, man. There's a PhD student there. Sorry. I love playing chess. We should have a game. All right? Anson too. I had a game with Anson. So you and I, we have a chess. Come to camp, we have a chess match. All right? 2 nights, 3 days, and we see who's the king of chess. From today onward, everyone started chess.com, you know. To make better decision, we all need to learn to make better decision in life. Who we are today largely has to do with the decision that we made yesterday. Yes? In fact, today you make a decision to come to church. I know of a family today, all the way from the city, decided to come to church this morning. You have to make a decision when it comes to choosing a spouse. That is a very exciting topic. If you are not married, you must come. If you are married, you should come too. It's never too late to make a better decision. That is not to say you should choose another spouse. Let me qualify that, all right? But to how to make relationship works. Pastor Randall was a bit worried then. It's like, oh, Kenny is preaching heresy here. Absolutely. Your second most important decision in life is who you marry. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more next week. Make better decision. When it comes to business, you have to make a lot of important decisions. Finance, we need to make important decisions. And the book of Proverbs talks so much about making important decisions. Absolutely. What else? We also have in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3, it says that to receive instruction in wise dealing. Everyone say wise dealing. To receive instruction in wise dealing. When you have the wisdom of God, you also know how to deal with one another wisely. You see, the wisdom of God very often is different from the wisdom of the world. Godly wisdom is different from worldly wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, we know that the King Solomon is the writer. And a lot of times, we also think that he's not only the writer, but he's also the compiler. We didn't think that he wrote everything, but certainly he has compiled a lot of wise sayings during his time. And during the compilation, it is generations of people having experience in life that pen down what it means to live a wise life. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about being wise, very often it equates with living a godly life. Everyone say godly. Living a godly life. It also means to live a righteous life. And then when we start to live a godly and a righteous and a wise life, your life will turn out to be good. Somehow. And when we receive instruction in terms of how we can have wise dealing with people, the Lord will bless us. I remember when I was younger, I was in my 20s, I was running a business, and we have a couple of shops. And the time I was, we were a dealer, and then we have a dealer principal, and we had this shop in Box Hill. We were doing very well. John was there. John, are you still here? Yep, John was there. And we were doing very well as a business. And remember when we had the license to run the business in that location, we were told by our dealer principal that we will never open a competing shop with you. We did so well, the CEO came, you know, all the way from Sydney, came to see us. At that time, we had a line, you know, of customers just buying phones. And we're selling phones like literally hotcakes, you know, selling phones, left, right, center. At the time, it was 3G, so it's a long time. Well, now it's 5G, right? So you can roughly guess my age, right? So it was 3G then. It was the launch of 3G. So we did very well. The CEO came. When the CEO came, I asked him again. So I just want to make sure that, you know, our contract stays firm, that you say that you will not open a competing shop with us. I say, of course, you know. A year later, there was this shop, bigger, brighter, grander, with exact same brand, company-owned store, right next to us. And that's how I was shocked, you know. I'm like, I thought we had an agreement. So I started asking God, you know, so how should I deal with this? So I thought about it, I prayed about it, and then the Lord gave me a story. I said, Kenny, I want you to tell this story to the dealer principal. So I'm like, you sure? They're the big guys, you know, I'm like the little guy here. It's all right, Kenny, you tell them this story. So anyway, so I went to see the dealer principal. I said, hey, by the way, I've got a story to tell. Now, of course, we have a small talk first. Yeah, small talk. How's business? How's life? You know, we had a little small talk. And then I said, hey, I've got a story to tell you. Everybody likes to hear a story, right? I said, a long time ago, there was a farmer. I said, oh, nice. And the farmer went to the king. And the king told this farmer, I have this land on the east side of my country, but it never bear any crops. Everything I plant there died. But if you go there and plant something, and if you grow your crops there, it will be yours. It will be all yours. But just need to give a little bit back to me. So the farmer was very excited. He thought, you know, it was a wonderful opportunity. So he went to the east side of the country and started planting seeds and crops. And somehow, the Lord blessed him. The crop grew. No one else could have done that. In the past, many farmers did it, but they all failed. But this farmer did it. It was a bumper crop. They did so well, year after year after year. But then the king got greedy. The king got greedy. And instead of rewarding the farmer, he took the farm away from the farmer. Then I asked the person, what do you think of this story? If you are the farmer, how would you feel? I will be so angry if I'm the farmer. I said, yeah. I feel like I'm that farmer. And that you are the king. Wise dealing. I won't tell you the rest of the story. But I can tell from the negotiation that we are able to open up a lot more opportunities. You see, when we have the wisdom of God, the Lord will lead us in our dealing with others. We need to be able to make better decisions. The next thing we learn when it comes to learning the book of Proverbs is that it will help us to develop character. Everyone said character. It helps us to develop character. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there are many keywords. There are many keywords. But the word that undergirds the entire book of Proverbs is the fear of the... It's the fear of the Lord. If you can see this jumble of words and fear, where is off? Of the Lord. You see, Joe, you always got the answer, man. Fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord. When we have the fear of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Any fools today? No, that's because you make a decision to come here today to listen to the Word of God. It says fools despise wisdom and instruction, but the wise want to gain wisdom and insight. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the one knowledge of the Holy One is inside. The fear of the Lord. When you talk about the fear of the Lord, it's that healthy sense of awe and reverence and wonder. It's not the unhealthy fear, whereby the moment we mention the name of God, we start running away. No, but it's a healthy sense of fear and wonder. It's the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. And we have the healthy sense of the fear of the Lord in our lives. When we make decision, when we turn to the left or to the right, we'll start inquire of the Lord. Have you ever wondered, when we read in the Old Testament, very often it says that the prophet inquire of the Lord. Or King David, he will seek the Lord. What does it mean? It means that every time when they are about to make an important decision, they will come before the Lord and they say, Lord, you are above and below. Your way is higher than my way. I come to you in humility and say, Lord, would you, through your scriptures, through the Spirit of the living God, would you guide my way? I wonder today if there are any one of you, if there's any one of you that's about to make an important decision, whether you have inquired of the Lord. And as you inquire of the Lord will grow your character, the integrity of a person, the strong work ethics in a person, and the Lord will grow you. The Lord will grow you. You know, your journey of living a good life in God's word is a bit like this. It must first start off with a fear of God. Fear of God is important. Why? Because first we acknowledge that it is a moral universe that God has created, and that is good and there is evil. There is wise and there is foolishness. And then when we understand what is good and evil, when we understand what is wise and folly, we choose to walk in the ways of the Lord. Hence, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the book in the Proverbs, if you apply it in your life, it will give you very high EQ. Everyone say EQ. Very often we talk about IQ. For those of you that started working in life, you realize that those with very high IQ and very low EQ will find it challenging in work. And sometimes you wonder why those that have not very smart but have progressed so far in life, you'll be thinking, you know, maybe they do something behind, you know why? Sometimes it's just they got really good people skill. They just know how to talk to the customer. They know how to deal with people. They know how to have difficult conversation. Talk about having difficult conversation. All of us need to learn to have difficult conversation. Everyone say difficult conversation. What is difficult conversation? Difficult conversation is those conversations that keeps repeating in your mind, but you never want to say it out loud. Those are difficult conversations. But you practice in your mind, all right? You start talking in your mind, all right? I should talk to my husband about this. You know, if I talk to my husband about this, this is what he will say and this is what I will counter. You have this difficult conversation in your mind, but you never dare to have those conversations because you know what it's going to turn out like. Perhaps it's husband to a wife. Perhaps it's among friends. Perhaps it's with your colleagues. Difficult conversation. The Bible teaches us how to have difficult conversation. Those conversations, when you have a good and fruitful difficult conversations, your relationship will flourish and grow. Can I get an amen for that? When you do it with gentleness, with humility, speaking the truth in love, relationship will grow. A lot of times, in the way we handle difficult conversation, it is to try to avoid it. Yeah, we try to avoid it. For those of you that have done this conflict class with me before, I talk about the five animals, right? Very quickly, I run through those five animals again. When we deal with conflict, naturally, there are five types of animal. The first type is when we deal with conflict, we are the turtle. Turtle means you avoid, all right? Avoid. If there's issue, all right, let's not deal with it. The opposite of turtle is you're a bull. Any bull here? Once the there's a conflict, you want to take charge, let's charge ahead. It's either my way or the highway. There is no other way. I'm always right, you are always wrong. You know, highway. The third type is the fox. The fox is let's negotiate. Let's negotiate. The fourth is koala. A koala, very nice. Very nice. Bull and koala, they work very well together. A koala is those that, you know, okay, what do you want? What suits you? All right, let's do this. So they are very very nice to deal with, very easygoing. But have you seen an angry koala? Very scary. You know. Last but not least is the owl. Owl. Owl is it takes a very long time to make any decision. Very wise. Very wise. When deals, it takes a very long time. You know, what do you want to eat for lunch? What do you want to have for lunch? Long time to make a decision. Some owls here, yeah? I can see some shoulders nudging. Owl is good when you have to make important decision. Yeah? Not important decision, don't ask owl to make. Takes forever. Just ask a bull, all right? You just take charge, all right? Yeah. So all the bull will start making decision for your lunch today. Owl is important when you talk about where to buy a house, whether I should move overseas. Don't ask a bull to make those decisions. You'd be too fast, too reckless. So the book of Proverbs will help us to deal with different situations, applying different kind of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs teaches us how to have a good life in God's good will. Now, then we come to how to study Proverbs, and this is very important. How to study Proverbs. We talk about why study Proverbs, now we talk about how to study Proverbs. First thing first, very important, all right? Proverbs are not promises, but probabilities. Proverbs are not guarantees, but guidelines. Now, the book of Proverbs is what we call a wisdom literature. It's a wisdom book. It's different from the book of law. It's not the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. So those are laws. Wisdom, on another hand, is different. They are not laws, but it's a very good guidelines, very good probabilities in life. They are what we call the general rules, generally speaking. But how many of you know that there's always exception to the case? So for example, generally speaking, if you are well-educated, generally speaking, you will have a better career, generally speaking. But there's always exception to the rules. In fact, some has done a survey before, a lot of the big corporate CEO, some of them do not have formal education. They will always have exception to the rules. But majorities of them are well-educated. So this is important. Why? First thing is very important. I'll let you look at a couple of verses. I'll explain to you why this is important. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short." If I were to just apply this as law, what does it mean? It means that everyone that do not live a long life are wicked people. Do you think that is true? That is not true. Absolutely not true. Hence, it's a guideline. Another verse. This will bring comfort to all the parents here, yeah? "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Generally speaking, it is true. But do you know that there are some children, even though you give them the best education, best upbringing, they may still turn out not that well. If you take the book of Proverbs as guarantees and promises, this is what's going to happen to you. You either become very prideful to say, you know what, I've made it. You see, I've done all this. That's why my life turned out to be so great. I have done it. Or you feel very condemned. You'll be thinking that, you know what, the reason why life didn't turn out well for me is because I've not done so and so and so. Or you become very judgmental as a person. That's why the book of Proverbs, you need to understand, they are not promises, but probabilities. Yeah. They are not guarantees, but guidelines. And life is really too complex for a simple formula. Hence, remember I say the book of Proverbs is wisdom literature. And there are other wisdom literature, for example, Ecclesiastes and Job. The book of Proverbs deal with general rules in life. So generally speaking, if you were to practice this, this is what is going to happen. If you live a godly life, your life will turn out well. If you live a wicked life, you will not turn out very well, generally speaking, in the book of Proverbs. But we have the book of Ecclesiastes and Job. Very important. Why? Because we know that the righteous do suffer and the wicked do prosper. The book of Ecclesiastes and Job help us to deal with the issue of suffering. Now, as I speak to you right now, my son is in hospital. Those of you who are close to my family, you know that my younger son is born with cerebral palsy. Does it mean that somehow our family has done something so wrong in our lives that God has determined to give an ill child to us or a child with a disability to us? No. Imagine if you have to start thinking this way, what kind of life would you live? And all we have to do is to look at the life of Jesus. If suffering equals to karma, then Jesus must have led a very bad life because he suffered like no man before him. Life is way too complex for a simple formula. Hence, when we read the book of Proverbs, we can understand the heart of God in the way he has made the universe and how he has put a moral law in this universe. And if you're to follow him to have a godly and righteous living, the Lord will be with you, and that your life will turn out good in the way that God has designed it to be. But even sometimes when your life didn't turn out the way it's supposed to be, you have the book of Ecclesiastes, you have the book of Job, and you have the person of Christ that you follow. The book of Proverbs is not meant for us to feel condemned, but it's to inspire us to see the character of God and to understand the mystery of life. Because this is the truth. Everyone else in this world is telling you how to live your life. You have your TikTok, you know, your YouTube, your Facebook video. I don't use social media much, you know. So there's once, right, I was in Facebook. Then, you know, I don't use Facebook much. Then I realized there's such thing as Facebook video. I know, right? Ancient. So I started watching one. I think it was like a 30-second clip or a minute. I thought, that's quite interesting. Then I watched the next. That was quite interesting. Then the next. Then I realized that, man, I just watched 20 minutes of Facebook videos. I have to repent before the Lord. Nowadays, all the TikTok, YouTube, 30 seconds clip is a bit like the Proverbs. Short, clever sayings, but in a video format. The world is teaching us how we should live our lives. But the Bible, the Word of God, the very Scripture, is the one that will give us divine wisdom in how to deal with life, with work, with parenting, with relationship, with our walk with the Lord. So how to study Proverbs? First thing first, they have this big introduction. Now, Proverbs chapter 1 to 9 is introduction. Long introduction, yeah? One third of it is introduction. In this introduction, there are two very important characters we need to look at. The first character is like a father's instruction to a son. A father's instruction to a son. It's actually more like a father's instruction to an adult son. There are 10 speeches in there. It begins with something like this. If you look at Proverbs, if you have a Bible with you, you can quickly flip through. From chapter 1 to chapter 2 to 7, very often it begins with, my son, listen to my teaching. My son, listen to my teaching. It says, my son, Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. That includes daughter too. Gender neutral. My son, my daughter, listen to my teaching. So there's this character in the book of wisdom. It's like an instruction from a father to a son. The role of a father is not just to provide for the family. The role of the father is to teach and educate a children. That's parents. Parents, mother, father, mother. Our role is to teach our children the ways of God, to fear the Lord. It says, let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Again and again, it repeats itself. I see my role as a father. Very often, I would talk to my children in the car. You know, so it's a 20-minute drive to school as well, 20-25 minute drive. I will often talk. Sometimes we say silly stuff, but a lot of times I try to share my life experience with them. I try to share my mistakes in life with them. And sometimes I just listen to the Bible. Sometimes we listen to news. But in listening to the news, we start talking about what life is about. Father's instruction to a child. Mother's instruction to a child. Parents, you play the most influential role in your children's life. What you speak to them is so important. So I want to encourage all of us to speak wise words to your children. So we have the father's instruction to a son. And secondly, then we have four poems of Lady Wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, it says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. And again, in Proverbs 8, it says, I love those who love me. So wisdom is calling out in the marketplace. What does it mean? It means that wisdom is made available for everyone. Everyone, from the simple, from the youngest to the oldest. From the most simple to the wisest, the wisdom of God is calling out to everyone. It is made available to you and me. In the ancient time, there was this cult. There was this false teaching called Gnosticism. It means the secret knowledge. In today's term, it's that sometimes people say that, hey, I've got a secret knowledge that I want to share with you. When it comes to the wisdom of God, it is not a secret knowledge. It's available. That's why the wisdom is calling out on top of a voice. It says, come, learn from me. Come, gain wisdom. And that if you love me, if you seek me diligently, you will find me. And the Bible says that riches and honor are with me, with wisdom, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Even fine gold, and mind you, than choice silver. It means to say, if I was to put in front of you gold and silver and wisdom, who would you choose? King Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, when he was about to be enthroned as a king of Israel, the Lord appeared to him and asked him, ask me anything, I'll give to you. What did King Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for honor. He didn't ask for power. I was thinking, if I'm King Solomon, maybe you know what I'll ask? I'll ask God to help me destroy all our neighboring enemies. They're always coming to steal our crops, disturb our people. You know, let's just destroy them and then there will be peace. There are many things that King Solomon could ask. King Solomon could ask, you know what, God? Give me good strategy in life. King Solomon could have asked that, but instead, King Solomon said, give me wisdom that I may govern your people well. You need wisdom. I need wisdom. We all need wisdom. And then from Proverbs chapter 10 to 29, they are all little wise, short sayings. A couple of examples. I'll read from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son or daughter makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. This is short two-liners. Verse 2. This is a bit of a taste, yeah? A bit of taste. I see some parents. Yeah. Some parents are smiling, some are frowning, you know, depending on which side. Anyway, let's not go there, yeah? Verse 2, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Wow. A lot of wisdom in there. Lots of wise, short sayings. And it's good for us. And last but not least, Proverbs 30 and 31. So you have a big introduction, 9 chapters. 10 to 21 is the main body, lots of clever short sayings. And then when it comes to the conclusion in Proverbs 30 and 31, it started off with this figure by the name of Agur. Agur is a man. And this man is like what you call a model reader for Proverbs. Why? So this man started by saying that I'm a simple man. I'm a brute. You know, I don't know anything. But when I start reading the scriptures, when I start reading the Proverbs, I become a wise man. We all need to be like that, amen. We start off saying, Lord, I come humbly before you. I may have lots of human wisdom, but I need your wisdom to teach me how to live, to teach me soft life complex issues, to give me wisdom in how to deal with difficult working matters. Secondly, there's this figure by the name of Lemuel. He's a non-Israelite king. He says it's a mother instruction to a king. And he starts penning down. And those of you that are very familiar with Proverbs 31, it then ends with a noble woman, the character of a noble woman. Proverbs chapter 1 starts with Lady Wisdom calling out on the street, saying, if anyone were to listen to me, come to me, come feast at my table, you will gain wisdom. At the end of the chapter in Proverbs, is the woman with the noble character. How good is that? And that is the book of Proverbs. Wisdom. But here's the thing. When you talk about wisdom, Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. The Jesus has answer to everything. He's very wise. Every time when the religious leaders are trying to spring a trap on him, he will have an answer. There's once when Jesus was asked a question, what should we do with this adulterous woman? You see, the religious leaders trying to spring a trap on him because the religious leaders knew that Jesus would want to forgive this woman. But according to the law of Moses, she should be stoned. But here is the funny thing. If she's caught in the act, according to the Bible, she was caught in the act of adultery, by why only her, not the man? Here's another interesting question. How do the religious leaders know that it was that time, in that day, that the woman is going to commit the act of adultery? And that's another story there. Perhaps is one of their maids. But Jesus, in his wisdom, you all know this story, he started scribbling. Let he who has no sin cast the first stone. Wisdom. How about another time? They asked Jesus, so Jesus, should we pay tax to Caesar? That's a difficult question. Because Jesus, if Jesus were to say, yes, you should pay tax to Caesar, there will be an uproar. Why should we pay tax to someone who is not Jews? Why should we pay a Roman emperor? Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to God what is God. Jesus, in his life, when it comes to wisdom, it's very important. It's not just the clever sayings of Jesus, it's how God, it's how Jesus lives his life. Jesus lives his life in a way to express the very nature and the character of God. And then when we follow Jesus, this is where we start living a life of wisdom. And in this verse, we understand that salvation comes through the wisdom of God. Because the biggest problem in humanity is not just poverty, it's not just violence. The biggest problem in humanity is sin. And in God's wisdom, how do we deal with this issue? It's through Jesus Christ. When he's nailed on the cross for you and I. First, it fulfills the righteous requirement of God. And secondly, it also fulfills the grace and the forgiveness of God on humanity. And that is the wisdom of God. So where to from here? As I come to a close. Where to from here? First thing first, I will ask you to realign your life with God's wisdom, if I can have the worship team. As we go through these next 2-3 months, we're going to explore different topics. We're going to talk about relationship. We're going to talk about alcohol. You should come to this. We're going to talk about alcohol. We're going to talk about children. We're going to talk about a lot of relevant topics. It will do you good. We're going to tackle some difficult questions. We're going to tackle the questions of cohabitation. Difficult question that sometimes we find it hard to address, but we're going to address it from the book of God. Amen. So first thing first, I'll ask you to realign yourself with God. Can I get your eyes, get everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes? Spirit of God, I want to invite your presence here at this very moment. Spirit of God, you are the Spirit of truth. You are the Spirit of light. Would you right now, at this moment, shine a light in our life, right now? When we talk about realignment, it's really, we are asking the Spirit of God to start showing in which area of our life we are out of sync with God. Even as I speak this, you know which area. Sometimes it could be you are in the wrong relationship. What are you going to do about that? And sometimes the Spirit of God will shine this area of your life, will touch on this point and nudging you and say, hey, in this area of your life, would you realign yourself with the wisdom of God? Perhaps some of you, is the way you talk to your parents. For some of us here, perhaps is the way we carry ourselves in the public. Perhaps it's in the workplace. You know that there are certain things that you are pressured to do, but you know you're not supposed to do. And you have to realign yourself. Perhaps in your walk with the Lord, you know that today, that you're not exactly walking in the fear of the Lord. Right here, right now, the Lord wants you to realign your life to Him. Now, with all eyes closed, all heads bowed, If any of you here say, Lord, I want to realign my life to you. I need your wisdom. If that is you today, can I just get you to put up your hand? Say, Lord, I want to realign my life to you. Anyone? And say, Lord, I need your wisdom. Put up your hand and say, Lord, I need you. Anyone here? Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Lord, I need your wisdom. Thank you. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom to parent my child. I need your wisdom, oh God, in my relationship. I need your wisdom, oh Lord God, in my workplace. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And put your hands down. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord God, for your truth. Father, I pray that right here, right now, at this very moment, oh Lord God, that you do a mighty work in us. And that as we realign our lives, I pray for the Spirit of the living God to come and fill us and change us from the inside. I pray for the wisdom of Christ to fill our mind. Oh Lord, we need you, Lord.
This is my desire to honor you.
Let us all stand and let's worship the Lord together.
All I have.
Yes, oh God, we ask that you have your way in us today, oh God. But as we come before your presence here today, I ask, Spirit of God, that you will set us free, oh Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that in Christ there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, oh Lord God, that it's never too late, oh Father, for us to tap into the wisdom of God and to say, Lord Jesus, today I want to follow you. Yesterday I may be living in my folly, but today I want to follow you. Today I make a decision, oh Lord God, to live a good life. Today I make a decision to live a righteous life. Today I make a decision to follow Jesus. And help us to be wise, oh Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus in this season, for the next 2 to 3 months, Spirit of God, that you use the book of Proverbs to help your people to be wise, oh Lord God. So that wherever we are, wherever we go, we bring the wisdom of Christ, oh Father. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your people of God is set apart from the world. So I pray in the name of Jesus from everyone here, Lord God, for the wisdom of Christ to lead us and to guide us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
But there is freedom. There is love. There is hope. There is power for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Father, I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for everyone here, that the love of the Father be with you. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will lead you. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always and forevermore. And the people of God say, amen and amen. Let's give glory.